The next speaker, Willa Carter, represents that anomaly of genius, its absolute mystery. When you think that in the middle of the Victorian period in Great Britain, when the women were all tied into the cribs confined, they wouldn't have been able to write. But then you remember that that period saw Emily Bronte and her sister Charlotte and George Eliot and Mrs. Browning and Christina Rossetti. You see that no group of women writers in Great Britain today can compare with their nude and confined sisters of 100 years ago. Whereas in America, it's exactly the contrary. It's a far cry from Lydia Sigourney to Willa Carter.
And pallid tragedy. It's not that that troubles me as it does Mr. James. It's 5 minutes. Will you tell me for 5 minutes to let me have a The novel, if it can be called a form of art at all, is certainly a very new arrival among the arts. All the other arts are centuries older, and we hope that the most interesting developments of the novel are still to come. Looking back over its short past, the things that immediately strike one are its great elasticity and variety. Like the Tarnhelm, which Nibelung made for Albrecht, it can present a hero, a giant, a worm, or a mountain. It's really astonishing what a long gallery of great books we must call by the name novel for lack of a better definition, more defining word. Robinson Crusoe is a novel, and Anna Karenina is a novel. Thais is a novel, and Pilgrim's Progress and Don Quixote are novels. They have such great variety of matter, such great variety of treatment, that it seems strange that in our own time in America, until within the very last 2 years, novelists have confined themselves almost entirely to two themes. First, how the young man got his girl, whether by marriage or otherwise. Second, how he succeeded in business. Now, whatever ornaments he wove into the fringes of his story, such as local color, dialect, landscape gardening, historical padding, the real business of his story was nearly always with one of those two themes. The square-headed young editor who once announced that he would publish only stories of youth, love, and success voiced a very general opinion. Most writers and most editors and most people honestly believe that those were the only major themes in literature. They would acknowledge that other arts, sculpture, painting, music, and architecture had concerned themselves with many other phases of human behavior, and even of human thought, even were concerned with the mysterious adventures of that thing we call the soul. But they believed that literature was dedicated to the telling of these two stories over and over throughout the centuries. Of course, such an opinion could only hold in a country with a shallow culture and an even shallower experience of life, which is a much more serious thing. How much have youth, love, and success to do in the great Greek dramas? Or in the old epics? In the Elizabethan drama, of course, they have their normal and natural place among the other passions and motives that govern men. That great group of Russian writers that flashed up in the north like a new constellation about the middle of the last century did more for the future than they knew. They were an amazing group of men. They had no benumbing literary traditions behind them. They had a glorious language, new to literature, but old in human wisdom and feeling and sympathy. And they themselves were remarkably direct and forceful and honest group of men. They were nearly all of them very big men physically, and with the exception of Dostoevsky, very strong, very, very robust, very full of every kind of force, so that they had no need to be continually defending their virility in print. This has a great influence. Quiet at first because it was in such a strange language that few people knew. But it grew steadily until within 30 or 40 years, from the beginning of the Greek work, and long before the death of Tolstoy, the minds of thinking people the world over were fixed on that new kind of fiction that we must call it so. Joseph Conrad wrote The Niggle of the Narcissus, in which there is not a single woman, and in which there are no rewards or prizes for anybody at the end of the voyage. The old icebergs began to melt. The old storms began to break up. Even in this country, writers began to look about them and see something in God's world. So long as their eyes were continually fixed on youth, love, and success, they could see nothing. They were like men being carried to the operating table. They knew they weren't always bubbling over with those three desirable things, and they were in a nervous chill. They wondered how long they could make shift. We have begun to look about us, but we have reached no glorious goal. There's a long way to go. We've changed the old formula a little. Just now we throw the accent a little more heavily on the bad girl instead of the good girl, on the young man who is, the young rowdy who is kicked out of his great corporation instead of the polished young man who becomes his president. But we cling to the formula. We must have that perspective underneath. We won't face the fact, we haven't the courage to face the fact that it's the formula itself that is pernicious, the frame-up. When we have the courage to give every story its own form, instead of trying to crowd it into one of the old molds on the shelf, one of the stock patterns, and when we have the courage to make it no bigger than it is, we shall be on the right road. We all start with a truth, but in order to make it a little bigger than it is, we weld something else onto it. Something very desirable, usually. But the electrical engineers haven't yet produced a contrivance that will do that sort of welding successfully. What is not in the original impulse is nearly always very bad. On the walls of the Luxembourg Art Gallery in Paris, there is a Latin inscription which reads something like this. Because of the past, we have hope for the future. And I think we may fairly apply that to the novel. Because of the Russian past, the French past, the English past, we may hope for the future.